Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Injury Time with me, Sandeep. We're doing yet another season review, like a proper season review. And to help me with this is Pradyum Reddy. First of all, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem, Sandeep. But pleasure to be back. It's good to sort of make some productive use of the time of the moment. So,
enjoying social isolation?
It's a different way of spending the off-season, but you know, as long as it doesn't continue too long, it's okay. But it's, you know, probably all for the best at the moment.
Yeah, you're this season you've taken up a new role as an analyst, more than as usually you're a TD or a coach. So how was the season for you? And I thought you'd be the best person because you would have watched almost all the games.
Well, actually, thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I would have watched all the games anyway, but this time I got to watch it with, you know, a little bit of a different perspective on it. More of a sort of neutral perspective and without the stress of, you know, whether we won or lost on any given day or how the results affected one another. So it was good to see that and got some interesting observations in terms of how the whole season played out, especially a little bit different this time. There wasn't a winter break and how you could see the injuries was definitely something that played a role in a lot of the teams. I think another significant thing was the pre-seasons now, something we started at Pune a few seasons ago, which is not going abroad for pre-season, and a lot of teams opted to do that. And you could say the relative success or lack of success of the teams in adapting to having their pre-seasons in India and how to plan it and do it properly.
Yes. So we'll do a team-by-team analysis.
Sure.
I thought I'll go by the league table. Obviously, okay. ATK won the title. But for all intents and purposes, league topper was FC Goa. The most consistent team, do you feel?
Well, you know, there's the old expression that a league table doesn't lie. So if you use that old adage, then yes, you could say they're the most consistent team. But I think it's a little bit, you know, that expression is coined in nations where the league table is normally after 40 games or close to 40 games. With cup games interspersed, so where teams are playing 60, 50, 60 plus games, which obviously has an impact on your squad depth and how you perform and how you prioritize leagues over the other competitions. So I think it's a little bit, you know, casual and careless to just say, oh, you know, obviously they're the most consistent because they top the table, because it is only 18 games and you can go through a good run of form. And if you've kept your players fit and fixtures favored you, as you'll see when we discuss some of the other teams, how I think fixtures affected some people, I think then you could argue with that point. But having said that, they did accrue the most points over the course of the season and they did score a lot of goals and they did get a lot of wins. So, you know, credit to them and they deserve to finish number one.
So in your opinion, what did they get right and what did they didn't get right? I mean, get wrong.
So I think we said this in our review or preview at the start of the season that they kept the same coach, they kept the same players. Large part of their core of players was from last season. You've got somebody like Koro, who's top scorer for two seasons in a row. You retain him. Their defense, they finally had improved upon it last year with Murtada Fall and Pena. They kept that together. And if you look at it, in terms of their starting 11, there wasn't really that much change to it from last season. And I think that was definitely their strength. In terms of it, you can probably say that's what their weakness is, because in terms of the new signings that are brought in to strengthen the team, you know, they didn't have a foreign signing, which is one of the reasons Lobera was, you know, moaning a lot during the season that he didn't have that seventh foreigner. In terms of the Indians that they brought in, Len Dungal was obviously the big name signing of such, which should have made more of an impact, and I don't think he did enough in that term. So they had to go back and rely on the players that they had, you know, the previous seasons. So I think in that regard, they didn't really do too well in the transfer market, especially in terms of Indian players and strengthening their squad.
But they do seem to give a lot of chance to the youngsters, or at least as far as the narrative goes.
Yeah, well, so they say. I mean, yeah, they've got a young goalkeeper. And apart from him, I can't really see any young players in who regularly feature for them. Savio Gama was one who should have probably played more games, didn't. Princeton Ravello was another really talented player that they had in their reserve team who didn't see enough game time, in my opinion. And is, but again, it's competition for places. There's some good players in their team. Even Edu Badia didn't see much game time. And I think Liston Colasso, we all know, he left to go for greener pastures at Hyderabad and got more game time there probably than he had in his entire 2.5 year stint in FC Goa. And he's another player that probably could have, should have got more game time than the likes of maybe a Manveer or a Lendungal. But, you know, that's where you can turn the argument on the head and say they didn't really give many of their youngsters enough of a chance, or the coach didn't trust the youngsters enough.
Yeah, that was that's why I used the word narrative, because yeah, that's the way they've been going. You touched on this foreigner thing with Goa. Retaining your six foreigners, that's actually more expensive than, you know, most people think, because they'll have to go up. So is there something to it that they couldn't afford to get a seventh foreigner?
Well, it's a bit of both. I think, well, yeah, I mean, if you sign players on multiple year contracts initially, then sometimes it's already factored in that there's an increase in the second year. Sometimes it's an advantage to have done that. If you haven't, then yeah, you have to, if you bring in good players like a Bumu and others who other clubs might want, then you've definitely got to pay premium just to keep them, because other clubs just have to cherry pick one or two of your players to strengthen their team and weaken your team. Whereas if you've got to retain all six of them at 10-20% more than what you had them on the previous season, then it's a significant increase in your wage bill. So, and the logic, I think, with the management there was their seventh foreigner over the past two seasons hadn't really performed, hadn't got game time, and was caused friction within the squad, and they had to replace him. And then they ended up bringing in an eighth foreigner. If you remember season one, they had Kulunga, they had Arana. They let go of them and brought in a couple of replacements later on. And then second season, Zaid Crouch didn't play much, and they were, you know, looking to bring in replacements. So I think the management probably thought, you know, these are good players. You've got them now. If you can only play with five, why do you need more than six? And you'd have to say the management got that spot on, because, you know, you finished table toppers with those six foreigners. So can't really argue with the management's decision on that.
And as a coach, were you surprised that how their form didn't taper or change at all, despite, you know, losing someone like Lobera, who sort of built up that team?
No, I think it's something that we, you could say, insiders knew. It's been brewing for a long time, so it wasn't an overnight decision that with three games or four games to go in the season they decided to sack the coach. It was something that was building up for a long, long time, and it was just a matter of time of when they were going to pull the plug. And I think they pulled the plug at the time when they felt, okay, first place is almost guaranteed, and the team would continue with that same momentum and continue to drive in the right direction. And in terms of long-term goals and direction the club wanted to go, it probably was their best decision that they needed to make.
And how do you look at them as a potential? Not a potential. They're going to play in the Asian Champions League for sure. But looking at their squad,
I think a lot of people underestimate the Asian club competition standards. People, even the AFC Cup, which is obviously a shadow of the Champions League, is very, very tough competition just because of the logistics and the way teams are better, you know, they're well prepared, and, you know, the home and away and the travel and the nature of the competition. Even teams from Bangladesh are much, much tougher opposition than people give credit for. And even teams like Mazia, where people think, oh, an Indian team should be breezing past a team from the Maldives, it isn't that simple. Even in BFC's heydays, we beat them home and away 2-1, but it was 2-1. It required late winners. It required, we were down in the games. So he's a tough opposition, and the AFC Champions League is a significant step up, and I don't think a lot of the clubs will be prepared for it. They haven't really faced such teams, and unless they plan their pre-seasons properly to face such kind of opposition, then they're going to be in for a real eye-opener, because it could end up being 5-0, 6-0, like almost tennis scorelines in every game.
Yes, let's hope that doesn't happen. Now, moving on to the next team in the league, ATK. I thought they were the best team in the league. What is your take on that?
Well, I mean, there's no old adage. I mean, the team, and this is, Jeff, generally adds up globally everywhere else. The team that spends the most normally finishes top of the table. And if you look at how much they had spent and the way they had spent the money this season, their second team, not their starting 11, their second 11, probably could have finished in the top four or top half of the table. That's the caliber of players that they had on their in their squad. You know, somebody like a John Johnson didn't feature until the penultimate game of the season, of the league phase. And that's someone who probably would start in most teams' back line. And, you know, the likes of the I-League's top scorer, Joby Justin, Balwant Singh, players who hardly saw any significant minutes on the field, Pranay Haldas, and lots of other players you could mention. So I think that's where they had that strength of their first team, and especially the strength in depth. So as soon as a player got injured, it didn't really affect them, because they could bring like for like, or they could go into the market and just splash the cash and buy an adequate or better replacement.
Do you feel like they've ruined the market by splurging?
Well, yes and no. I mean, yes, in terms of their, I think, overvaluing and overpaying on certain Indian players, and that sort of distorts the market a little bit. But in terms of a salary cap, I don't really think it's a right idea to go by. Because if a club owner wants to spend that kind of money and bring the likes of a Roy Krishna, David Williams into the league, then that's fantastic. It's good for the league to have such high-caliber players, players who are top scorers in the A-League coming here and being top scorers over here, and bringing that quality to the league. Then it's great, because, as I mentioned earlier, if you want to compete in the Asian Champions League or in the AFC Cup against especially West Asian teams, you need to have players in that squad who've got caliber to compete at that level, and probably also have the experience of playing against them. So you do need that kind of squad. And I think it's, as long as you get the balance right, you get, you know, good balance, I think it's not a bad thing. And, you know, let's not forget, this happens everywhere in the world. I mean, Real Madrid have a bigger budget than Atletico Madrid. You know, the Man City's and Man United's in England have a bigger budget than a Leicester, but Leicester do go on to challenge them, win the league at times, and, you know, they're in third in the league at the moment. So it allows for that kind of, you know, fairy tale stories, and that's what sport's about. And, you know, even German football, you see a lot of it where teams on lower budgets do manage to then focus their attention more on scouting and put their resources in different directions. So I think it'll help other clubs, or it should help other clubs, focus and look at football in a little different direction than just trying to sort of outspend one another.
Next season, obviously, they're good. Sorry?
If ATK go out and spend the most and get the most expensive Indian and foreign players, there's no reason other teams don't have to copy that and try and say, okay, if they spend this much, we're going to spend close to that to compete with them. You can then just be a little bit wiser in the way you spend your money, and you recruit more shrewdly, both in the local and in the overseas market.
Yes. Next season, obviously, the biggest thing about them is going to be the merger with Mohun Bagan. So, as a long-time football, Indian football patron, what do you feel about that move?
Well, I think, look, it's good in terms of football for the fans. I mean, we need to see the numbers that we used to see in the I-League games, you know, in the Calcutta games, coming back to the stadiums. That would be fantastic. So I think if you can get that huge back, the kind of players that ATK can attract, it's only great news for the fans. And I think especially now with Mullingham winning the league, I think it's just worked out in a perfect manner, them winning the league and then coming in. You've got, you know, they've, as a club, they've achieved everything they can in that league, and now if they can bring that fan base and the passion and the following, it could help propel ATK and, or the new club, whatever they're going to be called, into one of the sort of mega clubs of Indian.
Yes, sir. It's certainly going to be an interesting move, that, because from what I understand, a lot of the fans are unwilling, or and rightfully so, to let go of the colors and logos and stuff like that.
See, that's all, you know, little things. It's happened all over the world in terms of clubs that have merged together, gotten together, and everything. So it's initially you'll have those kind of misgivings and issues, but over the long run, you kind of get over it. And trust me, if they're winning next season, they're doing well in Asian competitions, then you very very easily forget about it and be cheering and happy to see Roy Krishna banging the goals and you know, taking the team forward. So
looking at the third team now, Bengaluru FC, they finished third, semi-finalist again, but it feels like this was a disappointing season, maybe more so because of how they played in Asia.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think fans of BFC and people who follow them have become accustomed to winning, you know, six seasons, what was it, six trophies.
Mm-hmm.
And so your seventh season where you end up with nothing, not even a, you know, not even a runners-up in any format. They're definitely going to consider that a failure. And I think that's why it looks upon a failure. Most other clubs, if you got to the semi-finals and, you know, you're a goal away from getting into the final, probably consider it a good season. And considering they had the most clean sheets, they had a couple of records along the way. Defensively, they were very well organized. But it's the standard that they had set themselves. But I think if you look at the preseason when we did a little look at this team, and if you look at the way they've gone about the season, they've probably done well to finish where they have, because they were still in a chance towards the end of topping the table. They still had that chance to go for the Champions League spot. So I think in a way you could almost say they've probably overachieved given all the issues that they had.
What did you think went right and wrong for them? Obviously goals was a big problem, but on a larger scale, the squad?
What went right, I think, similar to FC Goa, they kept a core of it. They kept a lot of the foreigners that helped them win it. They had the same coaching staff. They have a lot of, obviously, the setup that they have has been around for the last 6 years is quite successful. So that's definitely something that you could say was what they did right. I thought Ashik Kuranian was a good signing, someone that could definitely help them go in the right direction. In terms of what went wrong, it's probably how they use their new signings. We all saw that Ashik's not probably the best position as left back for him. And I think that using him out of position to accommodate Udanta rather than possibly making him challenge Udanta to improve would have been a better option. But it's easy to say that in hindsight. Signing Rafael Augusto with his injury problems, whether they, you know, did some due diligence on that, probably a big gamble and a gamble that didn't work out. And Onwu, you know, looked like a dud at BFC, turned out to be brilliant at Odisha. So it's a question of, did the player not fit the system that they were trying to play, or, you know, or did Carlos change the system too much this year from what was usually the Bengaluru FC that's given them a lot of success? There's a couple of things in terms of the recruitment that they probably didn't get right. And I think in terms of having maybe a plan C, you know, we said the plan A and plan B, and plan B seemed to be the set pieces, but there wasn't really an open play, a different plan. But that said, they did have the most clean sheets. They did get to the playoffs. They did qualify early. So it wasn't all doom and gloom.
So one of the things that we've spoken about is BFC's over-reliance on Chetri. Again, once again, he's a top scorer. So do you feel like at some point, because their age, average age is quite high, do you feel like at some point they need to look to the future and blood in youngsters or something like that, look beyond?
Yeah, I mean, I think every club has to do that, and especially successful clubs have to do that. And it's very difficult at successful clubs because you've got players who are performing. How do you replace them before they're completely in decline? And we've seen the likes of Reno and a couple of others who've probably their best days are behind them. But I think what the club should have done and could do maybe is you need to get good replacements in that can push the current players. Everyone needs competition for their places, and you know, if Gurpreet doesn't have competition for his place, he won't become a better goalkeeper. And if Vedanta doesn't have competition, Mishu, Beke, if you don't have a youngster chomping at the bit to take your place, you don't improve as a player, and you stagnate and you go sideways or backwards. And in that regard, I think Suresh was brilliant this season for them and a great signing and a good youngster. But over the course of 6 years, they haven't managed to bring any player through from their under-18 system into the senior team successfully. They've recruited young players from outside, and you know, the likes of an Edmund or a Suresh and others, and given them game time in the first team, but they haven't really managed to successfully nurture talent and blood them into the first team.
Hopefully they should get around to doing that, because I do watch a lot of the B team games, and I've seen you also in the stadium watching those games. Yeah. They do have some talented players.
Absolutely, but I think, see, that's the trick, is how do you get that sort of transition from under 18 to senior level football? And you know, there's ways to do it, and I don't think they've quite cracked that quite yet. And it's something that they probably have to figure out. Otherwise, you know, it's a waste of what they're doing with their under 18s and youth program. If you know you're winning the BDFA league with good young players, but none of them can ever play for your senior team, then you know what's the point of it? Are you just then producing good players for somebody else to benefit from?
So earlier in this season, I was talking to somebody during the podcast itself. We were talking about the time when you and Ashley were there and the amount of youngsters who used to come through.
Yep.
Not through the academy, of course, because you didn't. It was only like one just beginning. But you had people like Lynn, Zwala and Udanta all came through. So you did give a chance. So was that something that Ashley and you wanted to implement, to have youngsters coming up as a replacement of sorts?
Well, see, I think a lot of that ethos came in even before Ashley. When my first interaction with Mustafa and Mandan, the club management at that time, was we needed to bring in good young Indian talent coming through. So we weren't going to go into the market and buy the, you know, get into bidding with Dempos and others to get the best youngsters. And it was, we'd go around and get relatively younger ones, like we did with Nishu, with Anta, Daniel, Zwala, even Shankar, Siam Hangal, quite a few to name, you know, Moya, the goalkeeper, and even Amrinder later on. Quite a few players who were all under the age of 23, so they played for India under 23. By us giving them the platform, we gave them that. So yeah, it was definitely a conscious decision of the club. And no, the only way young players are going to get better is if you throw them in at the deep end. And we were lucky then. I think those days the I League used to have the rule that you had to have one under 23 in the starting 11 and one in the bench. And for us, it was never a problem. A lot of clubs used to struggle and, you know, do the token, put them on for 8 minutes, 10 minutes and pull them off. Whereas for us, we never really had an issue with that because we had so many good under 23 players that we could, we wouldn't have to figure out where to put them in the team. We actually sometimes had more than the minimum requirement. And we'd play with two or three at times because they were just the right combination for us in the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I do remember you played against Ayavadi, I think, in All Indian 11 in the AFC Cup, and also brought in three youngsters as well off the bench, if I'm not mistaken.
I think we even played an important game to Persipura, one of the top teams that time that we played against. We played with an All Indian team with Anta. First goal in Asia was against them, playing up front as a striker alongside Robin. So Shankar scored against Mazia. You know, you have to give youngsters the opportunity, and you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it can backfire on you. So that's, it's about getting the right balance with the experienced players around you.
Yes, absolutely. Let's hope something like this happens in the future again, because that was quite interesting at that time. Now, fourth place team is Chennai. You spoke about how fixtures and a good run can get you into the final. I think they are the perfect example.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if it's at the start of the season, I mean, a lot of people, obviously, Owen Coyle is going to get credit for a fantastic turnaround that he did. And you have to give a little bit of credit to John Gregory because he did recruit this team and put the team together. And at the start of the season, people might have been saying, oh, you know, these players aren't good enough players. But at the end of the season now, I'm sure there'll be a lot of clubs trying to grab hold of Trivijaros and Valskis and some of these players to add on to their books. And I think they've done very well in terms of how they've gone about with their recruitment. It's, you know, it's almost like the complete opposite of some of the other teams where they've retained all their foreigners. Chennai, obviously, Chennai and the season that they had the previous season, they opted to make wholesale changes. And I think they did well in some departments. Like, it was smart that they went and paid a transfer fee and got Vishal Ketan because it was an area that needed improvement. And their foreigners, obviously, once Owen Coyle came in, they looked just unstoppable.
So how does that happen from a coaching perspective? Did Gregory lose the dressing room? It felt like he was sort of down tools at some point.
Yeah, I think probably down tools is probably a better expression than lost the dressing room, because I think, you know, he's not going to lose the dressing room. He's won the league with those players, was successful in the, got them to the finals of the Super Cup, and was well respected and liked by a lot of the players. I think it just, you know, sometimes you can be at the same place for too long and you just get a bit stagnant and it needed freshening up. A new voice comes in and just a little bit more positivity about the approach. And you just take, you know, it gives a little bit more freedom to players and let them express themselves. And they got lucky, I think, that at the right time, results went in their favour. There was a game against Northeast that was rescheduled, which at the time, I think if they'd played it at the original time, Asamoah Gyan and Northeast were a lot stronger team then and could have, you know, halted or put a dent in Chennai's team. But the fact that game was postponed, it gave them a lot more time to then regroup with a new coach coming in. You had time to prepare themselves before. And then they had a run against, you know, I think a couple of teams where you could say they're winnable games. And then went on to be quite successful after that.
So do you feel like they were naive in the final, the way they played? That's the way I thought, playing against ATK.
Well, I'd probably say they're a bit more naive in the second leg of the semi-final where they almost threw it against FC Goa. I think they just went with their cavalier approach, saying we don't, you know, you can almost say they don't know how to defend. So it's better if they just go out and attack. And if you look at the way they started, I mean, they had I think Pritham Kota cleared one off the goal line with his head, which Caviaro tried to chip him. They had the one which Valskis hit the crossbar and bounced out. So realistically, within the first 10, 15 minutes, they could have been 2-0 up. And it's just one of those finals where it doesn't work. Those chances don't go in. And then ATK, the classic counter-attacking team, they hit them on the break. It was a long ball from Jono, released Krishna, and then the rest, as we know now, is history.
Yeah, absolutely. You impressed with how Changte has gone about his work? Or any player, any Indian player that impressed you, Edwin Sydney or Thapa? Or something?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd said a lot about Thapa before the season began, and so it was good to see him come back to the form that we've seen him perform, because we need... Excuse me, we need him to be on that kind of performances for the national team. And I think that cumulative games had caught up with him and he had a little bit of a dip. And I think what really helped him was playing alongside somebody like Edwin Sydney Vanspoel. When Vanspoel was moved into the midfield rather than playing a right back, he just freed up Thapa and he got the best out of Thapa. And then we'll all talk about Changte because of the goals and assists, but you know, probably should have got them under Gregory, because he was getting himself into good positions and squandering those chances. But it's been his problem over the last couple of years ever since he broke in. It's just he lacks that consistency. I mean, he puts it in one game and then fades away. And that's where a lot of these young players, if they want to make that step up to even getting close to a tier 3 level, you've got to start adding that consistency to your game. It's not just good enough winning an emerging player one game and having a couple of goals and assists here or there and you're working fits and spurs. It's got to be consistently, get week in, week out, you have to do that.
So at some point, they also have to stop this emerging player things because a lot of these guys have already emerged a couple of seasons ago.
That's true, but there are sponsor obligations, so
yeah. They have to. So the next team is obviously Mumbai, who finished fifth. Do you feel like George Costa got the best out of that team?
Probably. I mean, I think it was his team. I mean, he can't really blame anyone else because the recruitment was up to him and he chose to bring in some foreign players that he did. And in doing so, moved his top scorer into a right winger position and brought in somebody else to play in that position. So that's a choice he made. I thought defensively they probably should have or could have gone with two foreign centre-backs to give them a bit more cover when they had injuries. And you also need to strike, like I said about Bengaluru as well, you need to have strength and depth to challenge the existing players that you have. And if you don't do that when you're recruiting, then even the good players that you have can sometimes get a bit complacent. And I think we saw that with Subhashish at times, with their centre-backs at times. And I think over the course of the season, that probably cost them.
But they played, again, a defensive style of football, much similar to counter-attacking, let's say, transition, like ATK or BFC. Do you feel like we don't give them as much credit for playing defensive football? Because everybody wants to see attacking football.
No, actually, look, it's fine. I mean, everyone doesn't have to play expansive possession-based football where you're trying to string together 400 or 500 passes in a game and score a beautiful goal. But there's absolutely nothing wrong. I mean, there's different ways of playing it. And if teams want to set up to be tight to the back and then limit the opposition's chances and be effective on the counter-attack or play quick transitions, that's all. That's fine. I mean, and I thought the best example of it was the way they beat Bengaluru both home and away. But if you're set up as a defensive team and you can't be getting smashed 4-0, 4-2s and conceding, there were two games where they then every time they played Goa, it looks like they could have conceded in double digits almost. So if you're a defensive team, then that's unacceptable. I think if you look at the goals conceded over the course of the season, the numbers are quite shocking.
So they obviously have a new manager coming in. So one of the, I think we'll be looking at quite a few of them. So another...
It'd be Sergio Oliveira from what the latest rumors are.
Yeah, apparently it's also in for the Jamshedpur team.
Yeah, I think if you've got a choice of living in Mumbai or Jamshedpur, I know which one would choose.
Yes, one also association with...
Might be more tempting.
Yes, also association with the Manchester City is there. So.
True, yeah.
Another coach who I thought did a very fine job, but seems to be... have left the position is Joseph Gambau in Odisha.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of their season?
I mean, I think they achieved what's probably par for that team, given the spend and the handicaps that they had. Whereby, I mean, you know, they had to play a lot of their games away from Odisha at the start of the season. They were playing in Pune, they were traveling. So before they could get back home, and when they did get back home, you know, they did manage to make it quite strong fortress-like atmosphere at the stadium, Kalinga Stadium, where they won a few games. But I think that injuries should have at the wrong time, because I thought he was not just the goals, I think it's just, he was a proper talisman. He led from the front, helped out defensively, could switch into playing in a number 10, and when they played Daniel further forward, or he could play as a 9 when Chisco was playing, which is obviously the most favoured formation for them. But I think at the back, again, a team that didn't spend wisely or in terms of their defenders, foreign defenders and Indian defenders. And the biggest issue why I think they were never going to qualify for the playoffs is, and we use an old expression, stats don't lie, teams with foreign defenders over the last couple of seasons, foreign goalkeepers, sorry, over the last couple of seasons haven't made it to the playoffs. And the reason for that isn't that the goalkeepers are bad. It's the moment you do that, you're playing outfield with just four foreigners. And if there's a substitution that you need to make, you can't take off your goalkeeper and make a change because then you need to make a double substitution to do that. And we saw that a couple of times where they had to make two subs just to make one positional change. And I think over the course of the season, that lack of proper planning as a team cost them. And I think they just didn't have the players in the defensive positions to make changes, to switch games when they needed to or when injuries occurred. So I think that was always going to be their Achilles heel.
What do you think of Gambaud as a coach who he did give a lot of opportunities for younger players?
Yeah, I mean, that's the club remit. I think the club wanted to invest in a lot of young players and give opportunities to young players. So I think that's what he was tasked to doing, and he was quite good at doing that. You know, they played attractive football, but it was, you know, we saw it last year when they were at Delhi. It's all well and good saying we're playing this passing football and this possession and this penny passes, but correct me if I'm wrong, the game is still about you have to score more than the opponent or you have to concede less than the opponent. And you'd still need to worry about your defensive areas. And I think those areas where they were lacking at times. And so that's why you see when they played against the top four teams, I don't think they got the results. They couldn't beat the likes of BFCs and ATKs and Goas and Chennaians. And, you know, you beat the teams below you. That's why you finish where you did, which is about sixth place.
Yes, speaking of another coach with a lot of numbers, Kerala Blasters, once again a disappointing season. I honestly am a loss for words with what that management is doing with that club. So I'm just going to let you go with it.
Well, like, yeah, I said it before about like how the league table doesn't lie. And if you look at over a cumulative period, so we, you know, we say our league's not long enough, it's not a 40 game season, but okay, it's 18 games. But if you look at over the past six seasons, if you look at where Kerala Blasters have finished over the last six seasons, where they finished this year is probably par for the course for them. So they haven't actually underachieved. They've probably finished where realistically you'd expect Kerala Blasters to finish, because that is the kind of team they are. They aren't a top four team. They've got a fan base that should be a top four team because they come out in numbers, they're very supportive of their team and their players. But if you look at it over the course of the previous season, you say, where should they finish? They should have finished probably eighth. That's what the preseason prediction would be. I'm not saying this based on their squad or anything else. This is just based on the numbers from the last five seasons. So they've actually overachieved in that way. They've achieved better than that.
Yeah. But what do you make of this injuries that was a big deal that Elko kept talking about? Not having a fit lineup. Again, not being able to produce the same lineup once, like, you know, every other game. A lot of clubs do deal with injuries.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fact. I mean, he's not lying about that. He did have a lot of injuries. But, you know, there's a reason for that. So you have to question why. So something must have gone wrong in preseason. Something might have gone wrong even before preseason. Did you sign players without medicals? We see that happen a lot in Indian football where clubs sign players without doing a proper medical. Excuse me, and then pay the consequences for this, where you've got players coming in with pre-existing injuries. So this is the problem where you signed injured players, and of course they're going to be injured throughout the season then.
And you obviously put this to my notice long before the season started in your preview when you spoke about Sahil and saying that he's maybe slightly overrated. Elko seems to share the same feeling. But what do you think of it at the end? Because his numbers don't lie. He doesn't get that many goals and that many assists.
Well, yeah, I think I said it at the start of the season and I'll maintain the same thing. There's a lot of hype about the player before the season started. He's an exciting player to watch, no doubt about it. But we have this tendency to overhype players when they've had a little bit of a good season. And, you know, I think there's the stats sadly prove it right as well. Players who've won the Emerging Player of the Year award the following season have gone on to have a massive dip in their performance. You know, whether it's Ruatara or I think Jerry Lalonzola and now obviously Sahal. it's like the curse of the award. You know, there's a lot of hype about a player who's not won anything. He's not won an I League title. He's not won he didn't do anything wonderful for the Indian national team. He hasn't played impressively for India under 23. So, and as you said, the stats aren't there in terms of goals or assists. So a lot of it is just hype from fans. I wouldn't say media hype because I don't think the media really hyped him that much. And then it puts undue pressure on the players, unfortunately. And then he tries, you know, are you trying to live up to the hype about you as a player rather than what you actually are? And I think Elko had that tough task of then, you know, balancing the expectations of the fans with what the real qualities of the player are. A lot of the times the fans and other people don't see what the coaches sometimes see, which is what we're looking for off the ball, the behavior of the player, the work, you know, the work rate, etc. And if that's lacking, then you know, the player can't justify being started ahead of other players who are putting that effort in.
And what do you make of Elko? Now it looks like he's going out. Vikuna is touted to be taking his place. You think he should have been given another year?
Well, I think given he was popular with fans, which is, you know, one of the battles won when you're a Kerala Blasters manager, because in the past we've seen what's happened. I think in that regard, probably did he deserve another year? Perhaps. In terms of results where they finished, yeah, it's a results business. A lot of coaches would be lucky to get a second round where you don't finish in the top half of the table. And that said, Gambao continued good despite that. So there is certain merits to having continuity. You see with the first season, Goa almost missed out on the playoffs. They were lucky in a way to scrape through and they persisted with the coach and you see where it's got them. there is certain merits to sticking with the same coach, and just constant chopping and changing every year probably isn't the wisest.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope Blasters are listening to this because they need to get their shit together. Now, the last three teams, Jamshedpur started off well, but I think injuries to Sergio Castle and Pitti sort of ended their run.
Yeah, but I think there's just too much confusion about the way that team. I mean, I know from speaking to players there and knowing of the coach and the way he played prior to coming to India with his team, he preferred to play with a back three, and a lot of their preseason work was done with a back three and then playing 3-4-3 or different versions of back three. And then one game, and then you just throw everything out the window and go to trying to play with a back four where you've not got the personnel to play that, or you haven't recruited to play that way. And then what I mean by that is, if you were planning on playing a back four all season, you should have probably recruited a second foreign centre-back to play alongside Tiri, rather than shift your best defensive midfielder, Memo, into a makeshift centre-back all season. And then you weaken not only your back line, but you also weaken your midfield line by taking your best defensive midfielder out of that. And then when you've got youngsters like Narendra and Jitu and Mandy, the young kid who came there on the left back, Sandeep Bandi, you need to have, you know, a little bit of faith in these players, and you can't keep chopping and changing every time and then towards the end of the season, you're playing the likes of Sumit Passi at fullback. So you could see there wasn't a clear structure, and you know they didn't know what they were doing. And I think as much as the Atletico Madrid helped with the recruitment of top quality players like PT and
Castell,
I thought Castell was absolutely brilliant. But if you look at the Indian players that had to go along with it, there's just a massive disconnect with who's doing their recruitment on the Indian player side, I think, or who's advising on that side. Because you still have some good players like Isaac Farooq and a couple of others in that team. I just don't think they were used properly, or they got the right balance in terms of their recruitment or the starting lineups.
So another team is obviously Northeast United. Last season, they put their entire eggs in Ogbeche basket. This year, it looked like they did it with Asamoah Gyan. And Triades, who mysteriously disappeared halfway through the season. So what happened? What do you think there? The bad move from their management side?
No, I think it's another team that's just regressed to the norm. I mean, Northeast is not a top four team. It's a 9th or 10th place team in the league. And that's not said in a negative way. I'm just meant over the 6 seasons, or the previous 5 seasons, that's where you would expect them to perform, because that's the kind of club setup it is. It's set up to be a 9th or 10th place team. It's a bottom team. I mean, you have this universally. I'm not being derogative about Northeast. It's just, if you look at a Premier League, a Bundesliga or La Liga or any of the top leagues, at the start of the season, obviously the teams are positioned alphabetically at the start when no one's played a single game, but you will say these are the relegation contenders, these are the promotion contenders, or these are the championship contenders. So there are certain teams which you'd expect to finish at the bottom. I think Northeastern, Hyderabad, those kind of teams. So them finishing where they did is as expected.
Does this mean, in my opinion, last season was a bit of a freak because a lot of the good teams didn't have a great season?
Absolutely. I think last year was, you could say, they're sort of, amongst all their seasons, they were the one outlier where they overachieved. And they overachieved probably because of Ogbeche and Gallego. And obviously Gallego being injured this season was a factor. And I think that's definitely something that did affect them.
Yes, and the last team is, of course, Hyderabad. Again, another team who's going to get a new manager, Albert Roca, coming in. But this was a throwaway season for them.
Again, I mean, if you look over the course of 5 seasons, it was the Pune franchise, which later became Hyderabad. It was for all intents, it was just Pune. It was the same players, same manager from last season, the same support staff, you know, the same team manager. So it was just, you know, moved east, put on a different jersey, and that's what the team was. And you'd expect them to finish bottom two. That's the kind of club they are. It's a bottom two club. And they did finish in the bottom two. They finished bottom and probably almost had the worst record ever. And it's not surprising because they didn't learn from the mistakes of last season. They continue to make the same mistakes, and they are continuing to make those same mistakes. So now they brought Roca in, but Roca's not got a magic wand. If they can't fix the off-field problems that they have, it'll just be another disastrous season for club and players.
And Roca also needs certain types of players who play a certain type of football. And that is going to be an issue for them.
Look, we've also how Roca managed in his first season at Bangalore FC. He had a ready-made team with top players. He had the top Indian players. Even had the likes of Sandeep Shingan that season, and top foreign players as well.
And PQG.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, they finished 4th in the I-League that year.
Yeah.
And could have almost finished 5th if Lajong had won their last game. So if you look at BFC seasons over the last 7 years, that was the worst performance. So people, you know, talking about this year being BFC's worst season, that was their worst performance. I mean, it was clouded over by the fact that they reached the AFC Cup final, which, you know, Roca piggybacked on. The team was already in the quarterfinals when he joined. So it's no given that he's just going to walk into Hyderabad and then as you said, get success unless they spend on the likes of, you know, the Mikus. And if they spend the way he did at Bengaluru's first season of the ISL, then yeah, he might get that success.
Yeah. Also, now that all the teams are done and we are looking at the coaching changes and stuff like that, this year the rule comes in that the Indian coach can take take over as a, you know, top head coach. Welcoming that move, finally?
Yeah, I think it had to happen eventually, and it's happened sooner rather than later. And let's see whether any clubs will choose to go in that direction. At the end of the day, it's up to the clubs who they choose now, and that's how it always should be. And, you know, you could flip the argument the other way around and say, look at the I-League. The I-League never had this rule about foreigners and Indians. Yet, if you look in the I-League last season, Minerva Punjab had a young Indian coach. I think, to my knowledge, Aizawl FC had Stanley Rosario. And I think there's only one other team that had an Indian head coach. In the
Shanmugam Venkatesh is there. In...
That's an Arrows team, so that doesn't count. Not a proper team, a club team where, you know, recruitment. So I'm talking about. So it's still clubs opt to do that. So then you can argue, you know, well, why are you, you know, picking on the ISL clubs about this rule when in the I-League, when you have the rule, when you don't have the rule, you're still not given the opportunities. So I think it's coaches have to go out and prove themselves, and it's an open market.
Yeah, I mean, one of my friends actually referred to Indian coaching circuit, the clubs looking for as a white man syndrome, saying that you always want a foreign coach because there are people like you. Khalid has won the I-League itself. There was Colasso who has done well, and throughout the history, I've seen great coaches. So there's no dearth of coaching. I think Richard is doing well with his team, all Indian team in the second division.
Absolutely. Richard Hood as well. Yeah, I think. Like I said, I think Jan's doing a very good job at Minerva. I thought last season Floyd's done a very good job with the Arrows. There's a lot of good young coaches in India out there who are coming through. And there's some, if you look at slightly older than that generation, like you mentioned, the likes of Khalid and others who've been successful. When you go a little bit older than that, yeah, Sanjoy Sen did a fantastic job with the Mohunbagan. Stopped us winning it 3 times in a row at Bengaluru. And, you know, it was part of the success behind ATK as well. So I think he's one of the only coaches now in India who's won he's won I-League winner's medal and ISL winner's medal, IFA Shield winner, probably won the Duran Cup, if I'm not mistaken, from his days at Prayag, and the Federation Cup. So I think he's got every piece of silverware that an Indian coach can win, Sanjoy Sen. So credit to him. And yeah, so there's a lot of good coaches out there. So let's see. I mean, it's up to a club. And when the coaches get the opportunity, obviously you have to perform. I mean, you'd expect the teams over a natural course of, let's say, over 3-4 seasons now. The teams that finish in the bottom half, let's say team 7, 8, and 9, and 10 in the ISL, if they've gone with a foreign coach and it hasn't worked out, and an Indian coach is a finish above them in the league, they probably will start to look in that direction.
Let's hope that it comes sooner rather than later, all that. So what is the off-season looking like for you? No idea, nothing, because of the situation? We're doing
a lot of coaching courses, but that's not really happening for a while, I think. And looking forward to watching a lot more of the second division games, and that's also not going to be happening for a while now. So yeah. It's going to be a strange old off season, but maybe get into some sort of online versions of doing coaching courses for coaches who are stuck at home but short of ideas. So get them involved in something there where through online learning.
Well, we'll be watching out the space for that.
Sure.
Hopefully we'll run into each other again soon.
Sure.
It was good talking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Amit. All right.
And always a pleasure, as always.
Yes. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, see you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.